Hey, Di, how are you? So it's
I'm good.
Yeah, it's like I know you've had a busy week, and you're getting ready to do some fun stuff, and we've got a great show tonight. But tell us a little bit what's going on in your life, because you haven't been with me in the past couple of weeks. You've had a crazy, chaotic life, and I know that you're changing and got some cool things going on. So this is an answer to your wish. You wanted this so much, and now out of the blue it happened, right? Kind of like so.
I know. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind summer, really. I've got the man that I love is you know, back in my life, and he's up here with me, and just our lives have changed, and it's like all my dreams have come true, and I keep waking up going, wow, this isn't my life. My life is usually, you know, there's an issue of some kind with someone, but there's not any issues now. You know, there's got to be an issue. And then our topic today is mirroring, you know, and that,
right.
I think with a lot of the issues I've had has a lot to do with that. But I wanted you to explain the mirroring concept better than I can.
Well, we all live it, and this is a shocker for some people, but when you have a relationship, whether it's business or personal, and you have something you really enjoy about that person, for you and your guy, you guys enjoy great conversation, and you have a lot in common with that, right? You enjoy sitting and talking and watching football, right? So it's like companionship. He's your best friend, right?
Yeah,
there you go. And, you know, so you mirror each other, that great companionship, that great love for each other, for football, for just, you know, sitting there and doing that. Or, you know, I know you guys enjoy good food, right? Especially your cooking. So
he enjoys that too. I love to cook and he likes to eat. You know, in philosophy. We like talking philosophy. We both have very similar philosophies, spiritual philosophies, and I think both of us have really been starving for someone who was like-minded, and we haven't had that in our lives before, and it's so rare, and it's awesome to be able to sit and talk about your beliefs and not feel like you're going to be judged or somebody's going to preach to you. You know, it's just it's a great conversation to be able to talk about life and love and relationships and be completely open, and we've been both very open with each other. You know, I think when we dated 8 years ago, and I think both of us were not really ourselves. It was at a really hard time in both of our lives. But I can see, I can look back now and see, and I have, I mean, prior to this, realized that I really wasn't myself. You know, I was just putting one foot in front of the other because I just lost my son, and he just lost three members of his family, and we were both kind of coming together out of need on some level. You know, it's like we filled a void in each other's lives, but we weren't fully ourselves. And I feel like, you know, now it's been totally open and transparent, and there was always a great connection there, but it's just deepened, and it's been wonderful. You know, it's wonderful to be with your best friend and be able to have great conversation, but then you also are in love with them, and you have that great, you know, emotional connection and a great physical connection, and so it's been awesome. But we've definitely mirrored each other in some ways, and like when you and I were talking about that before the call, you know, you can be with someone who really is like the mirror image of you, who does things that you do, and it causes you to look at your own behavior. And I know you've had clients with this issue where they're going, why am I meeting all these guys who are like this? And, of course, from your perspective, you can sit back and go, because you're like that. But they don't see that, you know, because the guys are presenting this behavior in a different form, so it doesn't look exactly like it. But we mirror our partners to each other, or they mirror us, and we see things that we don't like. And if you're introspective and reflective, it will cause you to look at yourself and say, wow, I am like this. I just don't present it in that way. Or they mirror, as you were saying before, they mirror an old wound that you have from somebody else. So, like, you know, I wrote a book about passive-aggressive behavior, and I realized after a string of broken relationships that I was dating my father, who is not that way anymore, but he used to be extremely passive aggressive. And I would pick men for their different qualities, but yet the one quality that they all possess was passive aggression. And that's the one quality that I hated, but yet it's that fatal attraction thing where it's actually what drew me to them in the first place, because it was mirroring an old wound for me that it made me work on as an adult. So there's different ways of mirroring, but relationships are so much a part of that. And you're much more knowledgeable about that than I am, so I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, no, that's great what you said. So, you know, mirroring each other, right? Let's give it the good stuff. You guys like the philosophy and that like-mindedness. But It's like there is also flip side. I love my dogs, but as you just heard them, they're barking like crazy because there's neighbor that showed up at the door. So they do that just to get under my skin. I'm just kidding. But mirroring, when you have one side, the good side, you also have the not so good side that mirrors what you are or who you are. Sorry. So let's give an example of that, right? So I have a client, and she passed 6 weeks. She has attracted 6 different men in her life. They have all been some sort of scammer, okay? Mm-hmm. And Nigeria scamming, married scammer, you and I have talked about it. So they've all scammed her and wanted to get money from her. And, want money, or they want from her without really giving back to her, okay? So, and that's hard, and it hurt her. And she goes, why am I attracting these 6 men? I go, well, let's look at it. And so when we're looking at it, I go, what is the first thing that you want in a guy? And she goes, I want someone to support me.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Okay. So
right.
You take it from that perspective. Yeah. So you take it because you and I talked about it. So she wants someone to support her. So what is she mirroring? And I talked to her about it. This is a hard one, by the way, because it's hard to tell someone, that's your big, whatever. So go ahead and share with us what you said, because it's true,
Well, yeah, it's like she's saying, I want love, but she's not really wanting love. She's just playing a game where saying, I'm wanting you to love you, but what I really want is for you to do something for me. I want you to financially support me. That's what I really want. So it is a scam. It's just it's a game that people play. Saying I want someone for emotional happiness and not to give me happiness, but when you really love someone, it's the pleasure of loving them. It's the pleasure that you get from giving love. That's real unconditional love. But she's just saying, what can you do for me? And so she's attracting all these men now who are saying, I want you to do something for me. I want money. I want you to line my pocketbook. And she's angry. But these guys are going to keep showing up because that's the signal she's sending out. She's not sending out truth. She's wearing a mask when she's looking at guys and saying, oh, I really want a relationship. I want, a loving relationship. She doesn't care about the love. She just cares about the money. She wants to have someone to support her. So that's the wrong reason. It's a deceitful reason to go after someone. And so she's in turn attracting these deceitful people.
Right. So she's saying, I want a commitment, but yet she's leading with sex. All right. So one of the men that she's with was married. Well, he still is married, but he dropped her. He says, I want to work it out with my wife because she thought she was going to get him. And men and women, I see this more with women, think that if they compromise what they want, then they're going to get the guy, right? So if I offer him sex and then I can talk him into a commitment, whatever, it doesn't work like that. And, so she's, now I'm going to be real honest with you guys, and we've talked about this, she doesn't realize that she's doing that. I said, you can't do that. I said, she goes, well, I've had to do it by myself. I don't want to do it by myself anymore. She's a strong, beautiful woman in the sense of being able to support herself. But she goes, I want someone to take over and give me an allowance and let me do my passion. And she has the passion. And it sounds great when she says it. But what she's really saying is, I've had to do it by myself. I'm tired of doing it by myself. I deserve a man, right? Which is
right. She's entitled. She feels entitled. Yeah.
Right. So how do you, and I was like, okay, how do we do this? And so how do you change that? How do you change that behavior? Because I'm her coach. You know, I'm, you know, helping her mm-hmm. with the angels and the coaching and all that. And she's got, came so far. But, you know, what? How do you feel that someone would change that? Because I'm going to give you what I'm doing, and that you're given a different perspective in the sense of a fresh eye. So how would you tell her to change that? Because it's hard. You're a selfish.
It's very hard.
Person.
I mean, I think
selfish
making a
list. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, like you and I have done, make a list of what qualities you love. That not just financial, what character qualities you love. And make a list. I think she needs to make a list of her own character qualities, the things that she
that
would
she
bring
is?
To the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that she brings to the table. That's a good point.
Right.
That's great. I like that. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because she needs to do the flip side of it. Because since she's not really, you know, probably right at the top of her list will be, he's got to have enough money to support me. You know, she needs to make a list of character qualities. Money has nothing to do with character. And character qualities that she desires in a partner. And then she really needs to make a list of her own character qualities, of the good things that she brings to the table. And really
That's
focus on the great things that she brings to the table, because I know she has a lot of wonderful qualities. And if you read this list, and it, you know, a couple times a day, it's fresh in your mind, when you meet someone, that will be kind of the predominant theme of your thoughts. It's like, okay, I'm meeting this person. I want to, you know, make a good impression, of course, but these are the great qualities I have. And it's character qualities. It has nothing to do with money. I mean, she could say I'm financially independent, or I can take care of myself, or something like that. But she doesn't need to say anything about money, because that has nothing to do with character qualities. I think that's what her focus needs to be, is what am I like on the inside? And how can I find a partner that matches that? Because that's where true happiness comes in, is when you do have a partner who mirrors your best qualities. And, I mean, that's why I am so happy with Scott. We're so much alike. We're so much alike. We think alike. We feel alike. And I don't have to explain myself. There's no tension at all. There's no games. There's no mind games. There's no guessing games. You know, there's no antagonizing behavior. It's just kindness and love. And, you know, when you find someone who really mirrors your best qualities, that relationship just kind of magnifies those qualities for both of you, and it's kind of, the relationship has a personality of its own. But she needs to focus on that, I think, rather than saying, this is, you know, what I want with a man, because at the top of her list is going to be his, you know, wallet. So
right,
say,
because
okay,
she said, I want someone to support me. First thing she said,
right.
That's a great
exactly.
point. So you did, what qualities do you bring to the table, right? So,
right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't bring my pocketbook, or maybe you do. So, but I don't think any of us would say that first, because, you know, who would say that, right? But
it's kind of like I do with my oldest granddaughter, who's only 3. And, of course, there's some jealousy of the little one. When, you know, and there's a tendency for a toddler to want to be mean to their little sibling when they're jealous. So it's like reinforcing the good behavior. You know, when I know the little one needs picked up her attention and the older one is being nice to her, I'll call that out. Say, oh, you are the best sister in the world. You are so sweet. And it's like that your client needs to call her own good qualities out. Because when I do that with my granddaughter, all of a sudden, she is sweet, you know, and if there was going to be a moment where she was going to turn the other way and, you know, take a toy away from her sister or something, she'll all of a sudden, when I'm calling out that good quality, she'll just follow that lead and she'll be extra sweet, you know. So I think if your client will just say, okay, I'm loving, I'm fun, I'm, you know, funny, or whatever it is she is, if she starts reading her own list in her head, then when she's meeting a guy, that's what she's going to be really more focused on. Because it's like subconsciously in the back of your mind, it's like, okay, what am I bringing to the table here? I'm bringing my kindness, or I'm bringing compassion, whatever. And I think she'll that will help her bring out her better qualities, instead of kind of looking through this
that's
little.
That's a great
list.
Idea.
Yeah.
Thank
saying,
you.
Oh, does he have money?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great idea. Because I, you know, do you think I need to, because I know her and her mother very well, and her dad, you know, I'm going to ask her mom to help me. And I think she can without, you know, because I asked her, I said, can I talk to your mom about your guy thing? And she goes, yes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going behind her back, you know, because I've known her for some time. And she goes, yes. And so her mom's question last night, it was to her, she goes, my mom talked to me about it last night. She wanted to know, everybody's getting married. They've been on a couple dates. What's wrong? Why am I not getting the date? And mm-hmm. so I'm going to call her mother, and I know her mom will help me. I know her mom will help, not help me, but help her daughter. Okay,
like, you
know,
Marilla, so. Why am I not alone?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
I'm
that's
there
great.
Alone in the fireplace. That's not fair.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said it reminds me of Cinderella. You know, why yes. am I alone? Everybody else gets to go to the ball.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, well, you know, that's a good point. So let me ask you this question, okay? And, mm-hmm. and you're not going back and forth, but you've got a different perspective because you've got a fresh eye with it. And, you know, I want to help people. I really do. That is a great point there to get them to the right qualities that they like about themselves. Okay,
yeah.
So great quality, great thing to do. Let me ask you mm-hmm. this question, okay? And I've got a client. I've told you about her. And I told her, I said, you know what? You got to love yourself because you're attracting this guy with one guy, and he ignores her. He's passive aggressive, you know, and then he'll walk out on her. He won't call her back. All these things. Just passive aggressive, okay, when he says, I think about you all the time. And so I know she mirrors that within herself. Like, you know, I go, you're still married. And I said, she goes, my husband and I aren't together. And so I said, you need to learn to love yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how can I help her? What do you feel? Okay, because I've told you about her before. What do you feel about her? And she won't help herself. She won't spend money on herself, you know. And I told her, I said, mm-hmm. you want to work with me, and you'll call me and interrupt my conversation. And I said, I'm not going to do – and I told her, don't do it anymore. I told her not to call me until she pays me, right, because she would wait forever to pay me. So, you know, and that, it's not about money, mm-hmm. but it's about respect, you know what I mean?
Right.
So and to respect myself and boundaries. So she doesn't know how to respect boundaries. Therefore, her guy doesn't know how to respect boundaries, right?
Right.
You know, so – yeah, huh, that's good. Okay, so what's this? She needs to write 20,000 qualities that she likes about herself, right? I say 20,000,
right.
But if she can find 10 or 15 qualities that she likes, then mm-hmm. she will attract that within him, and she'll see him for something different than he is, right? And he'll start showing up better, don't you think?
Oh, I absolutely think so, because when you focus on the things that are important to you that are good qualities, that come from God, you know, they're not material things, they're not stuff. It's what is your character qualities that you like about yourself. If you just define them, because a lot of people have never been that reflective. They're not self-reflective. And they have great qualities, but they don't ever even think about themselves. They don't know what they bring to the table. It's like news to them if you give them a compliment, you know. So if they start saying, okay, what's good about me? And you know what? If you can't think of anything, ask your best friend. Ask your best friend. What do you think I bring to the table? What do you think is good about me? What are my best qualities? Your friend's not going to say, well, you got a sports car. Your friend's going to say, you're the funniest person I know, or you will give your friends the shirt off your back. You're always there. I know I can always talk. I mean, your friends and family can always give you a list of what they think your best qualities are if you can't come up with them yourself. And it's fine if you can, because you're humble, obviously. But most of us know what our strengths are. And we also know what our opportunities are. So if you just focus on those strengths and focus on why you would be a great partner that has nothing to do with money, you will get that list. And even if it's a short list, that's okay. Just read it to yourself several times a day. Go over it. And so when you're starting to try to date and meet someone, those will be fresh in your mind. This is why I would make a good partner. And you'll see right away, is this guy, does he mirror that? Or is he, like if you
right.
say, I'm very unselfish. When you meet, if you're focused on the quality of being unselfish, when you meet somebody who is selfish or is entitled, that immediately strikes you. It hits you right away, right between the eyes, and you're like, yuck, no, I don't want this. Turn away, you know. So if you really put your focus on those qualities that are important to you, that you have in yourself, that are good character qualities, you'll see that in someone else. They'll jump out at you, or it'll jump out at you that they don't have that, you know. So
right.
Kindness was at the top of her list, and she's getting a scam artist. She's probably not going to see kindness jumping out at her from this guy. She's going to see a lot of fast talk, you know, trying
right.
to sell something. And that's kind of what she's doing to herself. It's like, I deserve this. I'm entitled. It's like she's selling herself to herself, you know.
Right, exactly. Kind Maybe that's what you need to do. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's really good. I like that. Thank you. Because I'm going to, you know, that's so key right there. So let me give you the situation too as well. You can have that in business, right? You know, so up until really recently, I'm ashamed about myself because I think this it mm-hmm. normally goes with business or personal romance, right? I have a thought about romance. They have to be a little creepy for me to like them.
You don't like the creepy ones. That's your rule. That's the only prerequisite.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's a little creepy. I'm attracted to him. I'm just kidding about that. You know, so
yeah.
In the past, I've had issues with staying connected or committed, and not anymore. But I think that I've chosen men that have one foot out the door and
yeah.
one hand on the doorknob, right? So when I looked at that myself, I go, okay, what do I bring to the table? And I was able to, and I did that without even thinking about it, right? I was like, okay. So then I'm attracting more men that move slow as Christmas, right? But
yeah.
they are showing up, right?
Right. Yeah. They're just okay. being very selective in their, you know, relationship choice. They're wanting to get to know you. They're not just a flash in the pan, you know. They're not going to say, oh, let's go out for a fun night, and then I'm never going to call you again. Because, you know, if we be honest, you've done that to men in the past.
Even in California.
You go out and you like them for about 3 days, and then you're like, I'm done. I'm out of here, you know. And so you've changed that outlook, and you want something more substantial. So you're getting more substantial guys, you know. And a lot of guys, they don't move fast like that. They definitely take their time, you know. And they're mirroring you. You are being more selective now.
So I agree with you on that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm going to share this with you. I think that I had a lot with my own situation with my parents, right? And
mm-hmm.
we mirror a lot of stuff we learned as a kid. And so that's so true. And, you know, with my mom and dad, they were good parents, but there were some things that they taught me about relationships that I took on as my own. But it wasn't really who I was, right? So when I started redefining myself and figuring out who I really was supposed to be and who I was meant to be in this lifetime, then it's really changed things for me, you know. And my angels are so much better communicating with me. You know, because, you know, I said, well, you guys, so they're sitting on a fluffy cloud. I said, I'm miserable down here. Help me out, right? You know, so they're
mm-hmm.
helping me out more now because I'm more understanding. All good.
Right.
So,
yes.
Anyway.
They always have you out.
Yeah, they do. I'm teasing. They're great. So I'm the one that needs help and getting it and all that kind of stuff. But so how does that work? Like, you see, your own dad was passive aggressive, right? And
right.
so therefore you were passive. You attracted passive aggressive. You're not a bit passive aggressive at all.
No, I'm not at all. So I didn't mirror that myself, but I attracted men who were similar, who showed me that quality and made me work through my old baggage with my dad. And you know, it's funny, like Scott and I have had lengthy discussions on, you know, why we've chosen the wrong partners for us in the past. And he said, you know, he said, well, his dad was the strong personality. His dad was total type A personality. Scott is the least type A person you'll ever meet in your life. And he's picked women who mirrored that type A, and he hates it, absolutely hates it. He cannot stand somebody who has to be in control. Everything is centered around them. They've got to be doing stuff all the time, or they don't feel like they're being productive, you know. And he's not like that. And we were laughing because, you know, when I said, well, I, you know, except for him, it's like I've dated my dad. And he said, well, how do you think I feel? I'm a man, and I've dated my dad. But, you know, it's like the strong, when you grow up and you are more mild-mannered, like Scott and I both are, we're very sensitive, you know, and you're kind of sitting back, taking it all in, the parent that has the stronger personality is definitely the one that makes a bigger impression on you. You know, it definitely is. And even if they haven't hurt you or, you know, emotionally through their behavior, you really get that buried in your psyche that this is the way it's supposed to be, you know, because this parent is the stronger one, and that's just that must be a desirable behavior, even if it doesn't mesh with you, and you'll go after that, and you'll want to prove yourself to that person, like I'm proving my worth to my dad through this other man, and you know, you finally have to get older like I am. I just turned 55 this month. So I'm a member of ARP now, I just want you to know. So anyway, but that aside, you know, you get older and you start realizing I've been attracted to people who I really didn't have much in common with. I really didn't have a lot of real love for, but I was attracted to them because they mirrored that quality that one of my parents had. Or it may have been a first girlfriend or boyfriend. It's someone from your past that you've got kind
that's
of a
right
loop
there.
Yeah. And you'll keep chasing after people who mirror that quality so that you can work on it and finally get past that. And then once you get past it, you have absolutely no attraction whatsoever to other people who have that quality, and that is absolutely true. When I finally worked through my passive aggressive fixation, you know, I'd meet a man, and if he did or said anything that was the least passive aggressive appearing, I ran for the hill, you know, and I know Scott's like that with the type A, you know, that just does not appeal to him. He doesn't find it attractive in a woman, and he's finally gotten through that, and he's done, you know, he's done with that fixation on people who want to be in control and everything's got to be all about them. But you have to work through it, and it's sad to say, you know, we're adults, but sometimes we have to keep working through stuff from our childhood or our younger life until we finally get it. And then you can finally let that go and move on to somebody who's right for you. But, you know, if you make a list of qualities that are important to you in yourself, and that's what you want in a partner, because your partner needs to mirror those qualities, but you can't say, I want a partner who's compassionate if you're not compassionate. You know, you
that's
have to
very
mirror
true
them too. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be compassionate. So you got to really try. That's a good, such a good point there, you know, and everything. So you're right. We are a combination of our folks, because usually it's our mom and dad that are our first that teach us, okay, about interacting
right
with people.
Relationships.
And relationships. You're right about that. And so that 8-year-old little girl, little boy, because 80% of our emotional programming is done by the age of 8. We have another 10% done by the age of 18 and a 10% more that we can use to change. So, you know, if you're not realizing what's going on, then that mentality, that wound of an 8-year-old little boy, little girl is going around trying to say, I can change this. I can make a difference now. I don't have to deal with this, and let me shoot him or her down. You know what I mean? Or
right.
And then you can be really the I am in you, like the part of you that's connected to God, the angels, whatever you want, whatever you believe in, Buddha. But mm-hmm. Yeah, so cool. So wow. So and people don't even realize it. They really don't. So what's the outcome? Let's talk about that in a minute. So how are some things that you can? Let me back this up a minute. Okay. What do you do? What do you feel you can do to find out what your wound is? Well, you can look at the relationship, right,
mm-hmm.
that you've had, and like,
yeah.
Never been happy, or this always ends up like this, you know, or whatever. Or you can look at your parents and say, okay, what's the story here? Or you can look at yourself. And then you can say, okay, show me, and you can do meditation. That's one way. I've mm-hmm. gotten a lot out of meditation. You know what I mean? So
right.
I know when I was a kid, I felt like my mother didn't stand up for me. And I know that sounds terrible to say that, but my father was very, very strong, very, very strict with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think in times probably too strict. And my mother, I know she loved me, but she just allowed that without standing up for herself or for me. And
right.
And so, therefore, I've had dreams really this week, past in the, you know, where my mom, where I'm able to stand up and say, you need to help me. And, you know, and she does. In the dream, she always does. And I go, I don't like this about you. You need to change this. And I'm telling her that in the dream, and it's like giving me such a peace when I wake up. Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like you're finally making peace with your mom. Right.
Totally. Yeah, I'm finally making peace with my mom. And then my father, you know, and I know my dad, he is loyal. I had the dream, and he loves me, but he loves me the way he loves me. And I know that he loves me unconditionally, but I need to always do things his way, right?
So, right.
Does that make sense?
It's a stronger personality. And so you have, in the past, been attracted to men who made you feel kind of inferior, you know?
Right.
Like they were going to tell you what to do because you grew up with a dad who he wore the pants in every way, you know? I mean, he's gonna tell you how it is, and he's going to tell your mom how it is. And so you've, you know, I don't want to use the word commitment, but you've had a little bit of that where you're so afraid someone's going to try to clip your wings that even when they're just expressing their desire to be with you, sometimes it makes you want to run away. But that's because you were stifled. You felt like you grew up with your parents' thumb on you, you know. And so you've had to kind of relive that to finally work through that, you know. Whereas I was chasing after every man who was passive aggressive.
Yeah, you love you. No, I really don't.
You finally worked
through
it. Yeah, like this. I'm not like that, you know. So why am I putting up with this? I don't need it anymore. I apologize if it's noisy in my house. It is raining so bad and so hard right now. It is so noisy in here, so I apologize if there's a bunch of background noise from hail hitting my roof.
No, I can't hear anything. It's all good, too. I'm surprised it's not raining here. I live in South Florida. I live in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
The deer whisperer,
turkey.
Is that deer?
The wild turkey.
Wild turkeys, yeah. And the bear. She has a pet bear, a friend of the bear, Smokey. That's what I call it.
Smokey the bear. Just drives me crazy, trying to go for the hummingbird food.
We're a little off topic, but that's funny. You're telling me his dad made a lot of noise. They say make a lot of noise. He just stopped his hummingbird eating and looked at you and then went back to eating. So that's a good bear.
That's my bear. He's not afraid of me.
The best one, though, I think, was you having the soda in your car, and you left the car door unlocked, and he put the coat to the side very gently, right, that was in the car, and then took out the cans one by one and drank them.
I'm here to tell people that bears can open car doors. They can lift them up. So he couldn't open my front doors because you have to push a button, but the back doors, there's a lift-up handle, and he lifted up both the back doors. So I look down, my car's below my house. I look down and I see the back doors are open. My car looked like an airplane that was ready to take off with the wings, you know. And there's this pile of mangled Coke cans next to the car because he found the 12-pack of Coke and just drank all of them up and left the cans. Yeah, so I've had a fun summer with the bear.
That's funny. But the best part is when he moved the coat, he didn't tear it up. He didn't rip it apart.
No.
He gently moved it to the side so he could get the coat. I like that.
Right. He didn't ruin my coat. Yes, that was very nice of him.
That's funny. Anyway, so she's, the deer, and she lives in a great place where wild animals are there, and they get in the mountains in Colorado. Altitude can be a bit of a challenge until you get used to it, but it works.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so. I want to come up there and run in the altitude. So, so making a list of qualities you like about yourself, you can do also with meditation, looking at things that annoy the crap out of you with your folks and really looking at them. I mean, you know, we put our parents on pedestals, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
I know
I did.
Because
for sure.
Talk bad about your parents is like not cool, right? You said so in the, in the good book, 50 Shades of Grey, right? That's what the lady said. But no, it says
I don't know
about
that about.
Yeah, right? Respect your parents, right? So maybe respecting your parents is respecting yourself. And so looking at how you grew up, right? Do you think you can get some stuff with that, like do you know what I mean? Do you think that can happen too? Like how you grew up can give you keys to what you bring to a relationship or what you don't bring to a relationship, maybe, right?
Qualities were important to your parents too that were enforced in you. Like mine was always being respectful. It was like you could, you know, get away with anything as long as you were respectful. And I think one of my hot points is always feeling disrespected. If I feel like I'm not being, you know, given the respect that anybody deserves, I don't think I deserve more, but I certainly don't think I deserve less. I think people who disrespect my feelings in one way or another have it just causes me anger, you know. I'm infuriated because it's like, how dare you? How dare you treat me like that or disrespect my feelings? So if you've grown up having things, you know, drilled into your head, I mean, I remember my dad was always, you had to have class, you know. And class doesn't mean money. Class is the way you treat people. And you treat the guy who cleans your sewer with just as much courtesy as you treat the brain surgeon. You know, that's how I've grown up. I believe in it. And people who are rude to other people for whatever reason, their entitlement or they're just snobby or whatever, I cannot tolerate that. I just cannot take that. And it's just like you may think you're classy, but you have no class. And it's a total turnoff.
Right. Okay.
Came from my parents. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, you have no class. I don't want to be with someone who doesn't have any class.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And class is not money. Like you said, your class is just, class is the way you view people, the way you feel,
the way you treat
what's inside. Yeah. The way you treat people. What's on the inside is more important than what's on the outside. So that's a couple of things here. So you've got, as I said, and Di and I were talking about it, and then she'll come back when, hopefully, but she's in a bad rainstorm.
Yes, I hear now.
Okay, good. So,
sorry.
So you're, oh, no, listen, I get you. It's like, you know, when we had the first hurricane here, right, because the hurricane season's starting to, I mean, you have to carry on with the show after I'm gone. I mean, when the electricity goes out. So let me ask you a question. So that's something that's really important that you learn from your folks. So you learn good things from your parents, too, as well, right?
Right.
And you talk
it
for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's another good thing to learn from your folks that's yours? I know the passive-aggressive one from Dad, but your mom, with your mom, you know, and those.
Oh, both of them. Both my parents worked really hard. That's the one thing that a work ethic that I think is so important that, you know, people always say, God, kids nowadays just don't have that. But it's true. A lot of younger people didn't grow up with the same kind of work ethics that we did. But my parents both worked very hard. And, I don't feel good about myself unless I'm giving 110%. It's like your employer or whoever, yourself, if you're working for yourself, they're giving you a paycheck because they expect certain things from you. And people who don't work hard, who are lazy, that's another turnoff with me. You know, I grew up with strong work ethics. And also, my parents, no matter what was going on in their lives, they always showed up. You know, they always would make it into work. They didn't let any kind of drama deter them from doing what they needed to do. And I think that's an important quality for people to be able to continue on functioning as a dependable adult, even when, you know, the world is raining down on you. So I got a lot of stuff. My mom is, she's been my rock, but I mean, she showed me what a strong woman looks like. You know, a strong woman, that doesn't mean you're a tough, mean woman. That means you may cry and you may be sensitive, but yet you get through anything. And so I had great role models. I mean, I laugh at my dad because he's passive aggressive, but he learned that from his mother. It's like we've all taken on qualities of our parents that we didn't like, but you know, as an adult, you can finally, or an older adult, at some point you'll realize, you know, I don't need to be that way. That was not the way that I liked her being or him being, and I don't need to hurt other people by being like that. But it's kind of habit.
Right.
You get into these habits of behavior, and it's breaking those habits of behavior. So, looking at where you came from, you know,
what was important to you and what is still important to you. And like religion and spirituality, those are things that are pretty ingrained in a lot of us. And, you know, I struggled with being in a relationship with someone who was much more conservative religion, and I know they struggled it being with me because they thought I was going to go to hell or something, you know, because I did not have the very conservative Christian beliefs, even though I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I also believe in reincarnation, and I believe in, I believe there's choice. I do believe there's choice, and a lot of people just, they never want to take ownership. They're just like, God did this to me. God is smiting me. And I think that's just a cop-out of not owning your life, you know? So there's some very deeply rooted beliefs that I have, and that's something that I needed somebody who mirrored for me to feel comfortable in the relationship and being able to be open and sharing my beliefs and not feeling judged. That's definitely a huge thing that I took from my parents. So, and I mean, you've got great qualities from both of your parents. And, you know, when you're sorting through like old baggage, then we remember the bad stuff and the hurtful things. But I mean, if you look at who you are, it's a combination of both of them, and there's beautiful qualities, you know? So, you know, like if you had to say, what's your top three best qualities in you that came from either parent, what would you say?
My parents, both my mom and dad, were very gregarious. Never met a stranger. They didn't make anybody feel comfortable. You know, there's a couple of them right there. The other thing is the tremendous work ethic. My dad and my mom would go to work even when they shouldn't have been at work. Okay, you know what I mean? And they never, ever, ever quit. That's the things I learned from my folks. So, you know, great, great stuff. Because we're talking about negative, like, oh, I'm a big fat loser. Now you're not.
Well, we talk a lot of negative stuff because I think a lot of our listeners have negative things that they're trying to work through, and they like to, you know, they want to hear. You know, everything is not all lightness and air. Just because Teresa's angels doesn't mean that, you know, she's grown up with everything's coming up rosy and rainbows all the time. And so that's why we talk about them. It's the issues that people call you with. It's the issues that people ask me about. And so and you know, we don't ever see anything as really like good or bad. It's just some things bring about negative feelings because it's bringing an issue up within you that you're going to have to work on. So, you know,
that's true.
You may talk about negative, but yet it's a learning experience. You know, it's like you're in the hard class right now. You got the hard teacher.
Yeah, right. It's like, it ain't easy here, you know. So,
no,
but that's true.
It's
so,
not.
But the best part about it is you can change and you want a better guy, become a better you. So, or you want a better girl, become a better you. That's the way it is. You know, I always say this, there's plenty of hers or hims. There's only one you. And, you know, so. And that is so, so darn true. Let me ask you a question, Di. Do you want to have a relationship where you get married, or does it matter to you? Or I want to ask
I mean, we talked about this. You know, we're at the point where, like, calling each other my boyfriend or my girlfriend doesn't feel like enough, you know? And so neither one of us ever said we want to get married, you know, again. I mean, the piece of paper was never, you know, important to us to have again. I've been married once, and I didn't have to be married again. But when you get to the point where it's like it doesn't even feel right when you're saying this is my boyfriend, because it's way more than a boyfriend. I've had a million boyfriends, this is way different. You know, that's when you start thinking, you know, maybe that's something we want to do. Yeah. So, who knows, but it feels, it's just that deeper level of commitment where, you know, he said, when I call you my girlfriend, it just doesn't feel right.
Right. Exactly.
It's like, it's not enough. It's like, so I call him, usually I'll just say he's the man I love, you know. But for, and but then that sounds goofy to some people, you know, this is the man I love. But, I mean, that's what he is. You know, when I say this is my boyfriend, it just sounds like, oh, he's a dime a dozen boyfriend. And he's much more than just a boyfriend, you know. So, so yeah, how about you? Do you want to get married again?
Well, see, I was married to the Antichrist the first time, is what I'm dated or married to. Yeah, would I do it? Sure. But I want you to know this. I'm saying this so you can help him with this when I meet him, the right him. I would like to have a black diamond for an engagement ring. Okay, just saying.
Okay.
All right. So
I will let him know.
You want a black diamond. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Black diamond. Mm-hmm. And when I, you know what? You and Scott are twin flame twin souls, which means, you know what that is, right? It's like one soul inhabiting two bodies. That's sweet. That's it.
Yes.
One soul.
Definitely feels like that.
Two.
Yes.
Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you get mad at that twin and upstream. Dice relationship sounds perfect, doesn't it? And it is. It's really good. It's perfect in its imperfection. I'm so mad. I want to do this. And, you know, and you still have the ups and downs of the typical relationship. I love you, man. That's the best. You're like, I'm so mad. I'm like, okay, guys, you know, that you guys have your ups and downs, which is typical of relationships, too, as well. But, you know what, I think it's an easier way to say that, because my dad, he's, you know, it's a whole deal with my father and a boyfriend, right? For another day. But he says, you're too old to be calling him your boyfriend. I go, okay, what would you like for me to call him, my love?
That's the thing, that's what they are, you know. I mean, it's just, it's right. Funny, you know, that just, it doesn't feel right to me anymore. It's just like, he's more than a boyfriend, you know.
You know, when I said to somebody, I go, he's important to me, this is the best, and he's important to me, so that way you can, you know, can be left to, you know, to discern whatever that means to you or to the other person that's thinking about it. So I think that's key too as well.
Yeah.
And yeah. So you would like to be married, okay? And I feel right, and that would be good with you. And if you got married, would it be because it's your second wedding? Would it be in front of a judge, a priest, or I'll be free that day. I can marry you. I'm a minister.
I know. See, that's the thing. I mean, it would be just like on a beach or something. I think it's so distasteful when people have big second weddings. I just think it just makes me cringe. And so, yeah, it would not be any. It would be just very private and personal to us, you know. But I also think it would be something a little bit more than just going to a justice of the peace, you know. Or maybe we could go get married with Elvis in Las Vegas.
Yeah, right. There you go. Get one of those Elvis candles. Yeah, the king. Go like that for your honeymoon candle. Yeah, honey. You're my king tonight. It's all good. So you would do it like I like that for any kind of wedding, right? But what I do like is chocolate and dessert. You know, so I love to have dessert after the wedding. You know,
gotta have good food.
I'm
all about the food.
Yeah, all about food too. So, yeah, you know, the dessert. That's what I would be concerned about. So, you want to get married in your family? Do you feel like your daughter, your son-in-law, and everyone likes him? Do you feel like that?
They always loved him. Yeah. They absolutely love him. I remember when my sister first met him, she goes, this is who I always thought you'd be with. You know, because I've been with different people. She'd see me, and she's like, he's the kind of person I always thought you would have married in the first place. So, you know, they all just adore him. He's so nice. You know, you can't help but like him. So, yeah, they're very supportive, you know, and I love his family. And it always felt like a good fit with both of our families. His family felt like my family did, you know. There wasn't this awkwardness where, like, their family. Well, I have to laugh. I mean, I grew to love these people, but when I got married, I was so young, and he was full-blooded Italian, and my family was from the South, and our families were so different that I really struggled at first because it was such a different atmosphere, you know. But his family is so much like mine, you know, that it just always felt like a good, it was comfortable, you know. So
oh, that's nice.
That was always nice. I enjoyed that part.
I'm going to tell you, I really like that, you know, what you're saying about, yes, so you figure it out and you mirror, you heal the wounds inside yourself. And then there, and you go, okay, is there ever any time that you don't have any wounds or you don't feel like you have to correct anything? I said, yes, when you go to that big gene pool in the sky.
Right.
So you don't have to wait,
your time
you know,
is up. Because, so, yeah, we always all have things to work on about ourselves. We always do.
It's a journey. Anyway, speaking of some things that are coming up that will help you, believe it or not, the eclipse is coming, and it will be here in Mercury in retrograde. Retrograde Mercury means that you get to stop, look at stuff that's working and not working, and say, okay, I'd like to fix it. How do I do? And that's usually not going and arguing with somebody. It's like looking at yourself and saying, not arguing with yourself, but like, okay, how do I heal this? And all you really have to do is say, how do I heal this? And I was doing that this afternoon, and I'm so, grateful. And have an attitude of gratitude, too, as well, it really helps. And but how can I heal this? Because we all want to be happy, right? And you can do that. But the eclipse is coming, and the Mercury retrograde started a couple of days ago. So it's like a big, big, gigantic magnifying glass is in front of you saying, okay, let's look at things, and let's create something new and better. It's time to do it. Right? So what do you feel about retrograde? And I know that you've had a lot of good experiences. Not so good experiences in the retrograde. What do you feel about it?
It's just so weird. Yeah, because I swear it is true. When Mercury goes retrograde, mechanical things break down. There's always communication snafus, but you'll hear from ex-lovers. You know, it's everybody's kind of looking back, and sometimes they want to reconnect, and it's just it causes you to be more reflective, I guess. But the eclipses. Different eclipses do different things. And this one is a solar eclipse. And they always say the solar eclipse, that's the male one, so it will eclipse the male from your life. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to die. It means that someone who's been kind of a predominant male figure in your life is no longer going to be in that role anymore. And it may be just like a work colleague that leaves or something. It could be a breakup. It could be a death, but I mean, it doesn't have to be that severe. But lunar eclipses eclipse a woman out of your life, and solar eclipses eclipse a man. So there's different things with eclipses, and depending on what sign they're in, this is actually a really good eclipse for Leos who were born around the same time I was at the beginning of August.
So is it the eclipse is happening in Leo, right? That's what you're saying,
right?
Or the retrograde, or the
I don't know if it's happening in Leo. I don't follow that good enough, but I know it's showing up in Leo as a supportive eclipse.
Okay, gotcha.
Whatever that.
Okay, so all right. So you're a Leo. You're and everything like that. So that's good. So and it's the male. The solar is for the male, the moon is for the woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
yeah.
So Scott, for you, because Scott, you are a couple. Scott is showing up for you stronger now, anyway, right? How cool is that?
Oh, he is. Yeah, I don't foresee Scott being eclipsed from my life. But a work colleague.
No. But he's like maybe that. Being eclipsed means making it better, right? Or does he have to go? Is that what it normally means?
No, he doesn't have to go. No. It's any male in your life. They always say a solar eclipse will eclipse the male out of your life. But as far as your own relationship, that doesn't mean the man's going to go away or the woman's going to go away. As far as your own relationship, different eclipses do different things. And some of them are tough ones. Some of them cause problems. Basically, the eclipse brings everything to the surface. And so if you've had problems in your relationship, it will bring all of that to the surface. And you may end up needing to leave that relationship. If there's any kind of issues, it will bring it up. And if there's not issues, if there's good things, it will kind of magnify that. And so it's kind of, eclipses are weird. I haven't studied it a lot, but I just follow Susan Miller's astrology report, and she's great. I like her, and she always explains what eclipses mean. And different eclipses are different kind of, have different things going on with them, depending on what planets are aligned wherever, and I don't know anything about that, but I read her August one because it was a good one for Leo.
Okay, well, that's good. Anyway, we're running out of time, but so eclipses are important, especially with they bring things to a head and mirror things that you need to do and work on retrograde, just the same thing. So go to facebook.com/angelcoaches or angelcoaches.org, and you can find Di and I there. And, you know, we do readings. We have fun, and we tell you who your angels are and what they have to say, give you a vision, and also the tools to get the vision, which is key. All right, everybody, have a great now. We will see you not next Tuesday, but the following one. Bye, everyone.
Bye.